You're listening to the Fox and the Phoenix podcast, understanding the feminine cross-dressing experience.
I'm Savannah Hawk, dual gender male to female cross-dresser, LGBTQ plus advocate, TEDx speaker, and author of the Living with Cross-Dressing book series.
And I'm Julie Rubenstein, proud ally and co-founder of foxandhanger.com, a feminine styling and life coaching service for cross-dressers and transgender women.
Hi, Savannah.
Hi, Julie. I love that razzle-dazzle you gave me.
Thank you. I was striking a pose, peoples, for my dear co-host Savannah over the Zoom. I was voguing, basically.
I appreciate that. That was nice.
And I appreciate you.
How are you today? I am exhausted. As I was whining to you off air, I got my second author copy of my book. And I was all excited because the first one was apparently all in italics. The entire book was all in italics. And I'm like, what the hell? So I digged it. It wasn't my fault. It was somehow the formatting just carried over italicized once it was printed. I'm like, okay, so let me load a different type of file. You did a PDF. And then I get it today before recording. Judy's, hey, look, your book came in. I was all excited. I rip it up. I'm like, oh my God, it looks good. It's not italicized anymore. Everything's on the right pages. And I'm like, wait a minute. There's no page numbers. That's now my fault because I look back at the file and somehow I lost my footers. Now I have to go back and do it one more time. And I have a couple notes of things to do. It's tiring. Being an author, as you know, the joy is in the creation of the words on the page, not necessarily all the mechanical stuff you got to do to get it to the finish line. So that's what I'm dealing with right now. And it does take a lot of time when you're self-publishing to do all that stuff. And it's not what I love to do best or at all. But we'll get through it and we'll meet that deadline of May 15th. Pre-orders are open now for the ebook, and the print will be available on the 15th of May. So yes, it will all work out.
Mark your calendars, y'all.
Hey.
What was it? May 15th?
May 15th, 2024.
It's very exciting.
I was listening to the Judy episode, and I had said May 1st. That's when it came out this past week. And I'm like, uh-oh. But at least I gave it an asterisk. Says, well, I hope it went out on May 1st. But yeah, May 15th is the actual date of launch.
Speaking of date of launch, did you know that a year ago at this time, I would be returning from visiting you and Judy?
Yeah.
In the Carolinas.
Yeah, we've been noticeably sad about the trip not being had this year.
Yeah.
But we understand.
Yes. The remodel took priority and some years are just like that, but hopefully that will change at some point.
Hopefully, unless you have another remodel. Maybe you decide to put a second floor on your house. I don't know.
curse you, because we have a one-floor ranch and we're keeping it that way.
Okay.
Speaking of, we're keeping it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We have a topic today.
Okay, segue.
Okay. Full circle moment. So we... here in Northern California, I don't know about where you are, have been experiencing spring.
Yep.
As it is spring, as it is on the calendar. But I think for whatever reason, global warming, we'll just say that it's been a little bit nasty. They'll give us like maybe 3 days of really 70. We even had a 79 this week, really warmer than spring climate.
Yeah.
And then they'll just give us this like nasty winter-esque day of just like rain, and maybe you'll wake up and it'll be 45, not 50. And just, what is this? What the fuck? WTF, really?
Yep.
But every year, no matter what the flux is, I tend to get really euphoric in the springtime. I tend to get really just happy, and the clothes are just my favorite, and just this sunshine, daydream believer, and a homecoming queen.
Thank you, the monkeys.
Yes. With the kind of dropping of levels, for example, next week, I don't think we have, do we have sunshine? I don't know. I'm scared to look. But that high and that low really captures that sense of euphoria for me, at least in the springtime, which I can relate to that euphoric feeling that many transgender individuals experience during their highest of highs. And so I thought it would be fun, a fun spring topic to talk about when you have experienced euphoria, when it comes to your feminine self. So I put out this post this week, which is something I haven't done in a while, but something I've been wanting to get back to. And that's basically putting out a post that involves our community, our beautiful podcasting community, and ask them a question or create some conversations. So I found this beautiful picture of a woman with this glorious butterfly on her cheek and her lips painted a magenta. And I wrote, "When have you experienced euphoria? Please comment below." And then I wrote, "Comments may be read on the show." So I really want to highlight the "may." Maybe read on the show, and the fact that we are doing our best to read everyone's comments, or most comments. I shouldn't even say everyone's, most comments. So if you have commented and you do not hear your comment read on the show, please know that we appreciate your commentary and that it was basically a joy to receive. I'm like, yeah, basically a joy. I didn't know where I was going with that in my mind. But yes, it was a joy and we appreciate it.
Yeah, we got good comments back from both your Instagram and Facebook post of this. So yeah, very exciting.
We really did. So really, it's like a comeback story when you haven't done something for a while and then you lay down a post and it gets a high level of volume. It's always, I don't know, it gives me a euphoric sense of self. What can I say? And a sense that this podcast is still, people are still out there. They're still wanting to participate. And that's a really good thing.
Yes, it is.
So, Savannah, I'm not going to call you to read first because I know this is my episode, but I super wanted to. And I just stopped myself. I'm like, Savannah, no, that wouldn't be okay. Unless you have one right away.
I mean, I have mine loaded to read. So,
should we rock, paper, scissor it?
Sure. Let's do that. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Rock. Paper, scissors,
shoot. So basically, I knock you with the scissors. I got a rock.
Yes.
So it will be my to read first. Yay, I'm a winner.
Wow, that was also euphoric.
Yes. So the first comment we have is from Catherine Lynn. And she says, "The best thought I ever had about 3 months ago when we were coming home from a TG group meeting and it hit me. I felt pretty." All in caps. And that finally defined me. That moment, I don't know if you remember it, but I do after my daughter was born. Just that moment that it dawns on you where you feel, maybe for the first time, pretty. Just that feeling of like in this moment, whatever kind of entities played into this moment, if it's a dress, if it's a feeling, if it's an energy, just feeling pretty, I think is definitely a euphoric sensation that I've had before.
And then that way, it's interesting because the catalyst wasn't obvious. It was like, I was on my way home and I just realized I felt pretty. And it was like, yeah. It's a very internalized self-assessment of just like something dawning on you. There wasn't some exterior thing pointing to you saying you are this. So I think that's even more powerful sometimes than a different catalyst.
Yeah, it really is. And sometimes the most simple comments just capture so much in that moment. Sometimes things don't need to be lengthy to be powerful. So I think that comment is definitely something that everyone could relate to. So thank you, Catherine. And the next comment.
Well, Megan.girltime on Instagram says, "Attending my first Pride Parade in 2022. I was dressed completely over the top for drama and Pride looks, and I was joined with 7 supportive coworkers. The number of people who approached me to chat was mountaintop high levels of euphoria. That kick of endorphins lasted for days." Just like getting in the mix of things, getting into the middle of the community when everybody's feeling these elevated levels of maybe not euphoria, but of like community and strength in numbers and being visible. Yeah, that is the point of Pride,
right?
Is bringing people together and building everybody up just by being out and visible. So that, and like she said, with the coworkers, these are people I know,
right?
That know me and are like supporting me. Yeah, that's an amazing feeling of acceptance of people you know inside your circle and acceptance of this massive scale circle that you're now a part of. So I love that. I love that lasting feeling. I was telling you about that, about Keystone.
That's what I thought about the whole time you were reading that. Totally.
So yeah, it's something that like, it's exhausting, but it's like the best type of exhaustion of wow. That is like the fact that feeling and the chemicals are still churning inside you, and it takes you a long time to settle back into normalcy, whatever that looks like for you. I love that.
Yeah, that dopamine hit at the highest level, because not only do you have the giant celebration, but you have your coworkers witnessing this for you. And so often when we hit extended levels of euphoria and joy and being seen and validated and celebrated, it's kind of like, you know, that there's going to be a crash and burn. Mm. At least like I'm aware of it, and maybe not when I'm in the heart of the euphoria, but it's always just in the back of my mind. The words that come to my mind is like a concentrated situation.
Yeah.
You know, this has all the elements, and I know that the coming down is going to be hard, but who cares? Let's just live in that moment.
Yes.
Extremely, extremely present. That is very much a necessary bit of it. And I think that a kind of more shadowy part of my personality is, and you witnessed it when I came to visit, sometimes that crashing part comes and interrupts for me, just for me personally. I'm not saying I'm the only one. I'm saying I understand if others are experiencing this, where that feeling of, oh, life isn't that good. Mm-hmm. There's a bittersweet. Or I remember you and I were watching movies on the couch at night, and I just couldn't stop crying and holding your hands, because it dawned on me that this is the best, being in person with someone. That is the goal. And I have just settled into this relationship with you that is very virtual. It has to be. That's how it was. That's how we're built. That's how the connection came. But just the sadness of an ending.
Yeah. Yeah. I do remember that exact moment that you've lost being in that moment, because you knew that traveling back to California was coming up so soon. I want to make another point about this specifically, because while we're talking about euphoria, we're talking about like living your best moment in that space, you know, there is this reality component that we all have to deal with. It's like that, if every moment was euphoric, then you wouldn't know what anything else would feel like. And it wouldn't feel euphoric anymore, because that's all you would feel all the time. And therefore, yeah, you can't appreciate the sunshine without a little rain. And while we talk about reality doesn't have to be like dire and terrible and dark and like less than. It's just our day to day. And if we can bring that euphoric feeling, like as this little spark, you know, with us into our day to day, that's, I think, the best way we can do it, because you have positive, lovely memories of that experience. And if it bleeds off a little at a time, I think that's the best way. It's like sipping a whiskey instead of gulping it down.
Totally. I like that, a euphoric spark.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they tend to be a bit extreme. On both sides, we all, as a culture, we definitely move through extremes. But yeah, a spark, we can take a spark of euphoria. Yeah, I like that. Sign me up. Okay, so the next one is from one of our top listeners, a friend to the podcast for a while, Miss Shannon Bloom.
Hello.
And hello, Shannon. So she says, college, sophomore year, December, as part of a Secret Santa game, each participant had to perform tasks to earn their present at the end of the semester. All the girls got together and had the boys put on a fashion show in the lounge of our dorm. It was my first time I could dress without guilt. I enlisted the help of two of the girliest girls to help me get ready. They did not disappoint. They would not let me look during the makeup process, so it was only after I was dressed, made up, and wearing the wig they got for me that I could see myself. It was a dream come true. I could not believe that the beautiful girl in the mirror was me. I stood there stunned for a few seconds, and I vividly recall feeling, you did it. You found her. I was gorgeous. Most people didn't even know it was me. I would relive that night 1,000 times over if I could. I wish I had a picture. I just feel like we need to leave it as is with that beautiful story, because that says it all, right?
It really does. I mean, I don't want to leave it there because I feel that feeling. I know that feeling of, and I think a lot of male and female gender diverse people have felt this, where they've put themselves in the hands of somebody else.
Yeah.
Somebody with skill, either a professional or in this case, a couple girls who knew what they were doing. And for me, it was like at a professional service on Long Island where you spun that chair around. I didn't want to see anything. I said, do whatever you're going to do, put the wig on, and then spin me around and see that finished product and be like, oh my God, this is what I could be. And it feels like home and it feels so perfect and it feels beyond belief. Oh my God, the emotional charge and emotional churning of all that going on in your head at once. It is amazing. Amazing.
And when she says it was the first time I could dress without guilt.
Yep.
Oh, like what? I'm just, I enlisted the help of two of the girliest girls to get me ready. They did not disappoint. Other than the fact that I could picture this whole thing through the comment, it definitely was a storytelling comment. It's just so pure and beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
And it's something I know that a lot of us have experienced, in that just feeling of joy of finding ourselves in that moment of, oh my God, my outside can look like what my inside feels like. This is it. I found me. Oh, absolutely. I love it. I love it.
All right. Your turn.
Okay. Okay. So cat_Rena@times from Instagram says, I experienced moments of euphoria with a lot of different things. That moment when you finally put the wig on and see yourself in the mirror, when my wife and I are out shopping and she picks out a dress for me, when I finally put together that perfect outfit that I've been working on, etc. But the euphoria really hits hard when, after months of anticipation, I finally get the chance to meet up with my friends who share the same passion for cross-dressing that I do. There's nothing better than spending a weekend getting all dialed up with my besties and going out on the town, especially with you, Savannah. Oh my God, I hadn't read that. So I didn't know that's how she ended it. And this is the group that was in Greenville. Megan and Kat and others, we all got together. I did an interview with Olive 2 months ago. That's the group. That's a client. And they actually just came back from Austin on a girls' weekend. And they've been posting all about their adventures and all about the love of being together with people who accept you fully and are like you and understand your experiences. So I get all of this. You and I have spoken about how when I'm getting ready, like I always feel incomplete, even if I've got full makeup on, until that wig comes on and,
yeah,
it
just,
and I comb it out and style it. Now I feel my femme self. So I totally get that. That's what kind of pushes it to the, yeah, there she is. And yes, I, even though I was only with them for one evening, we went everywhere. Went to Blue, a club in Greenville. We went to a taco place. We just walked around a little bit. It was just like this posse of glamorous, gorgeous ladies just being out on a town and doing our thing. So
that was adorable. First of all, I was taking a sip of this Izzy soda Scott brought in, and it was on mute. And as soon as you said you realized who it was, I just laughed hysterically and started like interrupting you left and right. And then I looked down and it was on mute. I'm like, okay, thank God.
I did see your face and your reaction.
You're like, but you didn't hear it.
No.
That's hilarious. This is kind of a treat. Like, I skimmed over the comments a little bit, but I love that. I love that for you. That's a surprise. You're like, hey, yeah.
Hey, that's me. I loved it. That was great. And I, like I said, I totally endorse everything she's saying because I've been in that group and they're an amazing group of women. They just came back from Austin. They plan trips every quarter.
They are like an entourage. They're kind of like famous. It just through following them on Instagram, I feel like I know them. So yeah, it's very nice to see. I knew them before you, when you were telling me about them. Like, how much do I say I know them without saying I don't know, know them at the same time? Yeah. So I'm glad you got to have some in the flesh time with this. With this group of women that are just fabulous.
They are. They are. I second that emotion.
Well, I don't know if they're fabulous.
They are.
They're my friends in my head. So, all right. So the next one is from Wendy Warren. And she starts with, in 1988, I tried eye makeup for the first time. When I stood in front of the mirror, all dressed, everything seemed to change. My breathing, my demeanor, I felt a strange warmth in my solar plexus. Most memorably, my pupils were quite dilated. It still happens now and again. By now and again, I mean now and then.
Well, my first question is, if it was 1988, was that eye makeup blue and pink blended? Because that should be high right. fashion in the 80s, number one.
Right. That is very sweet. It's very sweet. And for me, when I'm doing something like dressing in something that just makes me feel like a queen, basically, I do very much tune into, it's not my pupils dilating, but it feels like I can see a light in my eyes, like a literal light. It's probably the reflection of whatever room I'm in, you know? There's something quite magical about it when I'm able to tune in to something lighting me up in that way.
Yeah.
You know, literally from the elements, but also I understand that feeling of kind of tuning into your eyeballs. I used to be more aware of it in college and notice it. Maybe because I wasn't on my phone. Maybe that.
Maybe you're looking up at mirrors and at yourself.
Yeah. Remember eyeballs? No. but yeah, that was just very sweet.
And what I wanted to say also, we're talking about that dilation and talking about how seemingly as simple as eye makeup can change so much about you on a physiological way. And that goes back to what Crystal had spoken about a few months ago with me about they had taken one of those blood pressure little clippy clip things and they actually did self-experiment their heart rates before and after dressing and how their heart rate would actually settle more at a lower beat per minute just for the fact that they were dressing. So while we can talk about the psychological euphoria of what's happening with dressing, there's also this biological switch as well that's both connected and not connected to the brain of that feeling of belonging. And that euphoric feeling is one thing, and feeling of calm and belonging is another. And I just think that's an amazing concept that I wish I had more. I almost like want to walk around with a heart monitor with all the little pads and diodes on my chest so I could see. Like when I dress at 8 p.m. on Saturday, my heart rate went to a resting rate of 40 versus 100. I think that would be amazing study to be a part of.
It would be. I mean, it would be or an amazing next book. I'm just saying. Okay, so.
I got the next one.
You got the next one.
Sweet. I got the next one. So Sparkle is loved. Hey, Sparkle is loved.
Hey.
She says, my wife went to a thrift store on one of our excursions. I was really nervous as I'd not been out much at this point. So I wore a mask with big sunglasses. I was feeling really good about what I was wearing, cute jeans, a lovely sweater, and knee-high boots. I didn't think anyone was noticing me at all. When we checked out, the young 20-something man at the register said, quote, have a great day, ma'am, end quote. In my lightest voice, I replied, quote, thank you, you too, end quote. That young one knew not what he did for me that day.
Mm.
So yeah, just that validation of your presentation and being something as simple as being called ma'am or miss or lady or whatever it is. Just having that engagement with somebody who has no relevancy in your life other yeah. than this passing engagement, but then the fact that they support and endorse what it is you're trying to be or who you are inside your core, and to be validated in that way from somebody is and can be everything.
Yes. Yes. And it's so simple and so necessary.
Yeah.
And the thing is, maybe, possibly, honestly, this person didn't know what they were doing for this trans person, or if this was a trans person, or I'm going to make sure to get the pronouns right. It was just a natural human response to a quick glance of, I don't know, gender expression, whatever it is that cued this person into it. It was just effortless. There was no pausing, no struggling to get out that pronoun. So that feels lovely.
And it really helped with, they were talking about how nervous they were at the beginning. Yeah. And even though they felt like they were dressed well and looking cute, the thing that made their day was that interaction. So I love that.
And the thing that's making my day before I get into the other comments is that feeling in my heart when I read these comments. I really missed everyone and their involvement. And I think The spring is sprung, people, and we're going to do more of these because I just feel so happy.
Aww.
The next one is from Leanne Abbott. Who's she? I've never met her before.
I don't know.
OMG. It was when I had my makeover with Elizabeth Taylor and I saw the woman I could be. It was the support from my work team when I was finally brave enough to let them know I was transgender. It was buying outfits that Julie, oh, that's me, that Julie Zissin Rubenstein picked out for me and the compliments I received when I wore the outfits. That's lovely.
Oh,
that's lovely.
She is an amazing person, by the way. I have met her in person. She was just in Greenville yesterday.
I know she was. I was wondering if you...
Yeah, she reached out to me, and unfortunately, the day took all sorts of different turns, and I couldn't make it happen. But yeah, I was very appreciative that she had reached out and wanted to connect.
Yeah, she's the queen. So the next one... Oh, sorry. Your turn.
All right. Let me see what I have on the screen. Amelia.m.Siaban, I'm going to say. Sorry if I butchered that. My latest moment of euphoria was after about 4.5 months on HRT. I looked one morning in a mirror and actually liked what I saw. This moment was the first time in definitely a long time since I had felt euphoria about my body and image.
Ah, nice one.
And to that, I say that we talk a lot about the non-transitioning male and female crossdresser.
Mm-hmm.
We are not excluding anybody who is transitioning. Obviously, we know many people who are friends of the show who are or have transitioned. And as we always tell everybody, this could be a way station for your truth. This could be the way you discover yourself. And the idea that they said this was definitely a long time since they had felt euphoria about their body and image before. For one thing, I can totally attest because I'm still struggling with dysphoria when it comes to my body, just in terms of having a healthy body, having the contours I want on my body and the weight gain and loss and all that stuff. So that is a constant struggle for me for both a male point of view and a female point of view. And the idea that HRT is such, I don't want to say a miracle drug, but it can change you in such a way, either minutely or drastically, that it can allow you to see your body in the way you had envisioned it, in the way it feels most appropriate and apt for you. Yeah, that idea of having those moments of like, you hit that mark on HRT where maybe you get some breast tissue that's growing and all of a sudden that's euphoric, or you see the fat going into the right spots on the body, or your muscle mass is decreasing or increasing if you're female to male, like all those things, loss of body hair, gain of body hair. It's like, yeah, I can imagine how euphoric that can be when you start seeing the self in the way that your mind has always wanted it to be and needed it to be.
Yeah, totally. And that doesn't take away from the other side of that, the increase of emotions, the breast tenderness, the fact that things don't fit really the way you thought they were because you're rounding out. There's a whole, I'm sure, journey when it comes to HRT on both ends. Like you said, it's a miracle drug for so many. And it's, I don't know, I'm just very thankful that it's out there.
Yeah.
Sutton Freedom. The first time I went for a hair appointment, the stylist is a close friend and she's wonderful. An ex-girlfriend of mine was there for support as well. And she was and is an amazing ally. I felt amazing during and after. They made me feel like the woman I've always wanted to be. And it's just so clear to me in my life how essential these kind of beauty and self-care angels are in the life of women, whether you're dual gender, whether you're cis, trans, whatever it is. There's something to be said about a woman going into a place and putting yourselves in the hands of a professional that sees you, knows you, has become a practitioner of your life, if you will, is up on your current events, knows what's happening, develops a relationship over the years. I know that my hairdresser, I consider a friend. I know that you have become very close with the person who you get waxings from. It's a very, very intimate relationship. Like no other I can really describe. Maybe a therapist. This is a therapy in some ways. It's totally different, but it's very, very, I don't want to say very naked. It's very personal because you're dealing with so many levels of self, the epidermis level, the hair level, and a haircut alone or a hair coloring alone or a waxing alone can really be a game changer, be an antidepressant, if you will, can be that thing that you're looking forward to that you do just for yourself. Yep. Whether it be get your nails done, get your toes done. I know that it's something that a lot of women hang their hat on in terms of their self-care routine. It's understandable that as we go through these comments, a lot of them will be closely connected to a stylist appointment, a makeover appointment, a waxing, getting their nails done. It's very feminine. It's very closely linked with femininity.
Agreed. I'm just going to add one more note onto that is when you are authentic with that person at that appointment, it takes on even a more intense spark.
Yeah.
Like I could get a body waxing, but I might never share the reason why I'm doing it is because of Savannah. And I was very comfortable with my esthetician. And she knows me inside and out. She's seen pictures. She's one who does my eyebrow waxing and shapes it the way that's gender neutral, but a little more femme. And she's fully aware of the things I'm looking to get out of it, even when she gives me facials. And it's really my biggest complaint was large pores. And she focused on that, knowing what I'm trying to look for. And I'll go to an appointment. She's, okay, so how's your foundation sitting now when your skin's tightening up? So having a person that, like you said, a practitioner of your life, a confidant of your authenticity in this way cannot be downplayed. It's so, so important because they are both a professional. They're both, like you said, they become very much friends and confidants and supporters and allies. They check so many boxes for you on your own journey, and it cannot be understated at all.
Completely. I was watching an I Am Jazz episode on TLC, and she was going with her friend, another trans young lady who's getting her arms and her back waxed. And Jazz was going in to get her bikini waxed for the very first time ever, period. But she was saying to the person, I'm transgender, I had bottom surgery. Is this something you could even do? The woman said, let me check. I'll let you know and just do X, Y, and Z. And yes, you could have it done. But somewhere during the waxing or afterward, or the friend asked, have you ever worked on a transgender person before? And the woman said, yes, I have. And you could just see especially in Florida, just the shift in comfort levels when finding out that this person was familiar with the transgender body and the experience. It immediately connects the two people, the practitioner, as well as the person getting the waxing, is on such a your private area. The bikini area is very private. And so I thought while you're talking, I definitely related it to that episode. Hearing you are not the first trans client to come in, I can imagine it's extremely meaningful.
Yes.
Doesn't make it any less meaningful if they hadn't, but just that extra comfort in knowing that they've done it before is helpful.
Yeah. And the fact that they have done it before, I'm not the only one. I'm not the first one. Right. And there's that extra level of inherent comfort knowing that, I've done this before, which kind of lends to, I'm cool with it. Come on in. I'll take care of you.
You're not a foreigner.
Yeah.
They're not a foreigner to the experience. This is some glorified trans moment where they can tell their friends they worked on a trans client. I mean, this is very much when that moment was said on the show, you could feel the energy of the room shift.
Yeah.
And Jazz's comment was like, oh, awesome. Okay. Like basically deciding I'm not going to be as nervous as I was because she knows.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Comfort on both sides. I think am I next or are you next?
I forget. I got lost in the story, but I think you are because I think so.
Okay. So on Instagram, part.time.harriet says, my first proper dose of euphoria came last year when I did my makeup for the first time. I was able to fully actualize a part of me that I had only previously glimpsed at, and it made me cry a little. Trying not to ruin my makeup that had taken hours, I had been dressing on and off for years, and whilst putting on a nice dress from time to time gave me mini doses of euphoria, I still felt like just a man in a dress. I have been through many purge cycles in the past, having felt like my dressing was stupid and hating the part of me that wanted to do it. After the euphoria of seeing my female side in her full glory, I've let go a lot of the negativity around my dressing.
Love it.
Yeah, that's saying a lot. Yeah. There's a lot there to unpack. For me, I also feel the same. We've talked about this before where I feel, whether because other people felt that way and instilled that in me or my own discomfort, like I don't feel that comfortable partially dressing, like walking around, no wig, no makeup, but in a dress or in something that feels incomplete to me. You, Julie, have been instrumental in helping me to find a little more comfort in that way. So you've helped me to better tailor that for myself. And with that said, Harriet, definitely feeling that full-on makeup, feeling it complete, putting on the wig or putting on whatever it is to make that look complete along with the dress and the forms and the padding and everything that's going to make you feel the most feminine. I definitely understand that's a huge part for me of the makeup and the changing of this masculine male face in my head, what I think of myself. What I see every day, and contouring to be slimmer and higher cheekbones and all the stuff I've learned to do has been super, super important to how I see Savannah.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's very interesting because when we think about the action of cross-dressing and we think about being dual gender and we think about for you and for so many not being able to see the man anymore and what it means for when you can see the man more, you know, it must be just like a trippy feeling because there's certain ingredients that go into this Savannah cocktail, if you will. And at the same time, realizing why you're attracted to female clothing is so much of the sensory experience as well as this kind of shape shifting of the face and the entire being. The pantyhose, the wearing a nightgown, even though that's something that Judy has a lot of trauma around. And since I met you, have slowly incorporated ways to be half-baked, if you will, undone, while still experiencing some pantyhose, while still experiencing a robe, while still giving little nods to the femininity, I think is also a sign of growth, really.
Maturity, as I say.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be this or that. It can be both. There's no, you're not in jail for the other. You're not breaking your rigid beliefs if you just try to open the door a little on that binary that you hold really tightly.
Absolutely.
Okay. So the next one is another person that is very near and dear to my heart. It's very interesting. So the past couple of comments I read are all people I know on a very close level. So it warms my heart to read them. All right. So Alicia Stockton, shout out. Hey, hey. Again, the original question is, when have you experienced euphoria? And she says, I have, still do. Had a thing about slow dancing. I found it so romantic and feminine, a top shelf girl experience. It probably comes from that Happy Days episode I saw when I was younger, where Richie dresses as a girl and must go to the hop and dance with a guy to get into the club. Watching that was an early realization of, oh yes, I want to do that very much. So over the years, I had given up on that ever happening. A couple summers ago, I got the chance to dress and get a great makeover, etc. And while out at a local gay bar, I wound up befriending and having lots of fun with a group of very nice boys. Chatting with one, I discovered he was a dance instructor. I told him about my fantasy and he obliged. And how? He taught me a few steps, a few postures, then spun me around the dance floor for several songs. It was total heaven. Wish it could happen more often.
Oh,
I know. That is so beautiful.
That is so beautiful. Then there's, again, a lot there, too. I remember when I was in Manhattan in the 90s going clubbing, and we were going with some friends, and they were Latina. And so they're like, oh, let me show you how to do this step, this Latin dance.
Yeah.
So there I am not with a young man, but with this woman who is teaching me all these dance moves and doing the cha-cha-cha type of moves.
Yeah.
And it was, definitely fulfilling to feel that femininity come out in shaking the hips and moving and swaying like a woman would versus my very awkward male jerky emotions. So that was amazing to be a part of. I hadn't thought about that in years until you read this one. And also, yes, I do remember the Happy Days episode where Richie had to dress as a girl and go to the hop.
I thought you might.
I think that Richie ended up dancing with Fonzie or something. I forget what happened. I do remember that as being like, oh, this is a cross-dressing episode. Even though poor Richie didn't mean to do it. It just happened that way. Yeah, those are, again, those weird memories of, oh, yeah, I do remember a guy dressed as a girl on an episode. Have I ever told you that when I read Catcher in the Rye, there is a scene where Caulfield is looking across the apartments or the hotel to another room, and he sees a man dressed as a woman in that?
Yeah, and I remember it. I love that book. Yeah.
Catcher in the Rye was one of those early books we had to read, required reading in high school. And I'm like, oh, there's a transvestite in this book.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, no, it has such a warm place in my heart when I think about this early onset pockets of, I don't know, influence, little influence that gives us an education about, I want this. This is possible. It could be a TV show. It could be a movie. It could be whatever it is. It's like a little seed is planted.
Yeah.
It's not a big moment. It's a little moment. And then to see Alicia just have that full circle moment where her dreams are actualized. It's so powerful from being a little child and making that note of, I want that. That's what I want. And then this full, beautiful flower tree that has just planted on this dream. It's just, I don't know, it tickles me. It's delightful. Yeah.
And it is so validating. Well, let's not forget, you get the opportunity to exude this femininity and you have, in these cases of validation, you have this man who is treating you like a woman, which is one, a very positive trigger of, oh, I'm presenting as a woman. That's how I want to be seen. And this man is treating me as such. And that is very validating for many people. And I totally understand that in all the years I've been going to the clubs or going to these private events where there are men there who want to be around trans women. And there are many trans women who seek that affection or seek that attention because it does make them feel more and more like a woman because they're in the mindset of being that person. And that's what typically would happen in social situations, that a man would come to you and want to buy you a drink, et cetera. So,
right. The fact that she got to tell him about her fantasy and that he just obliged and said, all right, let's do this. It's so sweet.
It's like Cinderella.
Do you want to read Jennifer?
Yeah, I'll read Jennifer.
Okay, cool.
So my next one is from top fan Jennifer Hangartner on Facebook. And she says, for me, pretty much every time I put on my wig, which is a final step of my getting ready, and see myself in the mirror gives me that sense of euphoria. I still remember the first time it happened when I put on a wig, and it does it every single time. It goes back to my point a few minutes ago about that final thing. Like, I always dress first and then put makeup on last because I've like got moisturizer on. I'm like, I got to let that set. So I'll go to the room and do all the other work and then come back to it. So, yeah, I am in the same mind as Jennifer, that donning that wig, that final piece is always the thing that just clicks and locks everything together for me.
And shout out to Jennifer, who has really taken the inspiration for this podcast and kind of ran with it. She has done really amazing by creating her own cross-dressing podcast. So shout out to her.
It's called Jennifer's Tale, My Life as a Crossdresser, and it's on Apple Podcasts.
Yes. So please check it out. We are so proud of her. And yeah, she's the best. I like the fatty breast tissue episode. I think it's episode 2.
Anyway, she's definitely got the goods in that department. And hey, if you got them flaunt them, I always say.
I literally can't stop staring at her fatty breast tissue sometimes. Okay. So I'm going to go off on fatty breast tissue because hers are so luscious. So I'm just going to move on to Madeline Fox, who is another light in my life. So Madeline Fox, and not just because her last name is Fox, and I'm foxandhanger.com. Honestly, it was when I was with a transsexual. We were both dressed We were both as feminine as can be. We spent the night just truly enjoying each other. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's intimacy is another way in which your femininity can be validated. It's important. It's as tender as it gets when it comes to that sense of euphoria, especially with the onset of orgasm, if you will, like the onset of an orgasm, if you will, if that was present at this moment, truly enjoying each other tells me that, you know, maybe there was a little.
I didn't want to say, I wasn't going to speculate, but I will say that being with somebody who fully understands your experience, mm-hmm. because they've had some of that experience in their own life, one, allows you to be completely open. It allows you to be completely transparent. And if you're with somebody who makes you feel safe and loved in that way and in that space, of course, it's going to be very validating. It's going to be, it can be very intense. It could be all the things, mm-hmm. all the things. And without knowing more, we're not going to speculate more, but just being around people, I found that share, like, again, me with Keystone, me when I went to the Femme Fever events, when you're around people who are versions of you in different ways, shapes, or forms, it's all always very much something that is a homecoming and just helps you feel safe, comfortable, able to be more yourself.
And there's a lot of individuals that listen to this podcast that are out in the world doing the thing, that are partnered up or not, married or not, kids or not. And they don't identify with the kinkiness aspect, but they do have very intense fantasies about being with either a transgender woman of a feminine persuasion as well as themselves, or with a man to be treated like a woman. And so that even the fantasy creates a real sense of euphoria when you really get to the heart of what it is. And yeah. Whether they plan on acting on it or not, whether their plans to actually make this a reality will happen if they happen to come across this scenario. Some people are actively pursuing it. Some people are just going to the edge of it and with no plans on actually doing it. But I do know that it definitely is a part of the cross-dressing experience for many when thinking about what it means to be a, quote, true woman. Mm-hmm. I've heard that several times where that would be the ultimate test, not test, but just honestly, the true, honest completion of this process,
yeah.
whether it be with their wife, seeing them as a woman. So I'm glad that I'm actually surprised that it just took to getting to the end of kind of these comments for someone to really talk about the sexual aspect of this, because that is huge when it comes to cross-dressing and euphoria. So
it's a human experience.
Yes.
But it's, you know, we talk about it through a cross-dressing or gender diversity lens, mm-hmm. but most people, unless you're asexual and really have no interest in sex, like you could do it, but you really, take it or leave it. Most people in the world have a need of sexuality and have a need of sexual intimacy with a partner who understands them and loves them for them. And so the cross-dressing experience is not unique in that regard, nor is right. it really something to be fetishized.
Right.
Because to say that somebody who dresses as a woman who wants to feel like a woman and experience what it's like to be a woman, either with their wife or with a man at a bar, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. that the things I just said are not unique to cross-dressing. You have people going to the bar all the time looking for a hookup or looking for a man to buy them a drink. You can go out on an outing with your spouse and have a nice romantic interlude. Really, at the end of the day, it's about being loved for who you are, mm-hmm. in whatever shape that looks like. And it's not just for us as, quote unquote, a fetish, because everybody else in the world is doing the same thing or wanting the same thing.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to keep on my soapbox with that comment and be the next to read.
Yeah.
So my next one is from Natalie Claire on Facebook, and she writes, "Dear Casey." No, she did not say that. She said, "For me, there have been a couple of standout euphoric moments for me. The first was on a professional dressing service session. My wife actually accompanied me. Seeing myself made up professionally for the first time brought tears to my eyes." Side note, absolutely, same for me. Another was when I dressed, went out, and met my best friend for dinner in a movie. She has been a wonderful supporter from the moment I finally told her about myself. Mm. And the latest was only a couple weeks ago when I dressed in full activewear and went for a walk and a jog in my own neighborhood. Admittedly, it was in the evening, but it was the first time I went outside our fence line and I wasn't in the shielding protection of the car. I'm sure the neighbors have noticed me leaving during daylight hours as napped, but there has been no conversation with any of them about it. So to walk out onto the path and up the street was a first, but it all just felt so right. I managed to even do some jogging. I came home and was on a bit of a high, and I may have said once or twice to my wife just how natural it all felt.
Mm.
I love this. Number yes. one, because I've done this. I used to be scared to death to go walk the dogs at night around the neighborhood. Because like, all right, I just came home from the pub with a meetup group and I'm all Savannah-fied. Yeah. It's 11 o'clock and Judy goes, I'm going to bed. You walk the dogs when you get home. And I'm like, I'm exhausted, but I don't want to take the time to take all my makeup off. So I just grab the dogs and go because I don't want them to have to wait for me. And yes, there is something to be said about a couple things. One, the assumption like, hey, who's that new person walking those dogs that Chuck usually walks?
Yeah. You know,
all of a sudden you're like, if they look out the window, it's like, hey, who's this person? Sure don't look like Judy. Sure looks like the other person, but in a dress. And I've become so much more comfortable walking the dogs. I think I even did it before the sun went down a night, maybe in the last couple of weeks, where I'm like,
whoa.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, F it. It was twilight, but it wasn't full on dark. So anybody seeing me with the dogs would have been curious if they really intended to be curious about it. So I love that. I've heard so many stories about people who only go out after dark. Or only go out in a car to a park that they know is relatively deserted to walk around and be outside the car. So there is such bravery here. And so I can understand the euphoria of being out. And it may be a little clandestine because you're not fully engaged with people around you necessarily, but you're out. You're out and about. And I love that.
All right. When you say clandestine, what does that mean?
Clandestine means secretive, like a secret.
Oh, movie. Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
So spy versus spy.
Yeah, I don't read a lot of books, but what I do, I'm a writer that doesn't read books. Let's see how that's going for me. Okay. So the last one, that we're going to read today is Miss Stacy Lynn.
Okay.
And that's, I have been dressing in secret for years, purchased most everything I need to complete my look except a wig. I took the plunge and bought what I thought was a good wig. The problem was I had facial hair for years and I couldn't make the decision to shave. I finally decided it was time to shave and took the plunge. Of course, the next step was to dress completely from head to toe with makeup and wig. I was really nervous as I got ready, but the feeling I had when I looked in the mirror and for the first time saw a woman looking back was incredible. I didn't know what gender euphoria was at the time, but I knew the feeling was something amazing. Oddly, over time, the feelings have never diminished. When I finish getting ready, the last thing I do is put my lipstick on and the euphoria kicks in every time.
True that.
I love our community. I love all the comments that we received. We were actually able to read them all in this episode.
Yep.
So shout out for that. And I will make an agreement right here, right now on the air to put forth more content like this, where we can really get our listeners engaged. We can get you, our listeners, engaged, because that was just a beautiful episode. I thought, what did you think?
Absolutely. The hearing other people's stories has always been something I love to do because that is something I can take back and dissect and see how it applies to me. So many of these stories are things I have experienced. So I fully understand where these ladies are coming from. And I hope that we at least gave it a little color commentary enough to make it even more universal from what we were listening to. And I love the fact that we had so much engagement from our listeners and our fan base. One, it makes me feel loved and validated as a podcast co-host. Yes. And it's lovely that people do want to participate and provide their stories and be a part of things.
Yeah. So everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. And we look forward to having you back for new episodes every Wednesday. And we love you all so, so much. And I hope that your spring is beautiful and lovely and you can get out and enjoy some of those beautiful weather patterns that are positive. To me, rain does symbolize negativity sometimes and some colder weather. I'm like, are you serious? Spring, people, spring. So anyways, all right, I'm going to say it. Drum roll, please. Bye for now.
And this is Casey Kasem saying, until next time.
No.
Oh, what?
I don't know how I feel about Casey Kasem, but
listen, he was a genius and a pop culture icon when it came to radio.
But is he kind?
I can only assume. So I can only assume. That's okay. But otherwise, bye for now.
Ah.
You can find me on Facebook at Savannah Hawk or at Living With Crossdressing and on Instagram at Savannah Hawk. Remember, that's H-A-U-K. And to learn more, go to my website, livingwithcrossdressing.com.
And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Fox and Hanger or at Julie MTF Style, as well as on our website at foxandhanger.com.
Julie, it's your moment.
Fox and the Phoenix podcast uses Anchor, copyright 2024.
Yes, nailed it.
If you enjoy our content and want to make it easier for others to find us, please share with your friends. Tap the subscribe or follow button to the show wherever you're listening. Give it a 5-star rating or leave a review.
And for show ideas or comments, contact us through the podcast on Facebook at Fox and Phoenix Podcast or on Instagram at the Fox and the Phoenix Podcast _.